May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 306, and we'll omit verse 3. Oh, the pangs by Christians felt when their eyes are open. When they see the gulfs of guilt they must wade and grope in. When the hell appears within, causing bitter anguish, and the loathsome stench of sin makes the spirit languish. Hymn 306, omitting verse 3.
Thank you. us read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of Psalms. Firstly, Psalm 2 and then Psalm 45. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt tread them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now Psalm 45. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee for ever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The sceptre of thy kingdom is a right sceptre. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favour. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee for ever and ever. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his most precious word and teach us how to pray. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come, we are a company of the poor fallen sons and daughters of Adam, solemnly born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. O most gracious, most merciful and almighty Lord, do draw us to thy mercy seat. We do beseech of thee, none come except the Father draw. May we feel those sacred, those divine drawings of a heavenly Father as we gather together around thy word at this evening hour. Put forth thy almighty arm, we do humbly beseech of thee, and have mercy upon us in the person of thy Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Lord, for those wonderful words of grace. For, Lord, we cannot come unto thee in our own name. We cannot plead with thee for our own sake, for we are unworthy of the least of thy mercies. We deserve thy wrath, thy anger to be put away forever because of our sinful rebellions and wanderings. And yet, those wonderful words of grace, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, we do thank thee for those precious words. And we do thank thee for that precious Redeemer who has come to Zion, who has redeemed his people, who has brought in everlasting righteousness, who has offered a perfect, holy, spotless sacrifice. We render thanksgiving, O Lord, unto thee for the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, for this is our only hope. He has lived for his people. He has suffered and bled and died for his people. He has risen from the grave. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. He is risen. We do thank thee that we worship a living Saviour. I am he which was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We do thank thee that in that glorious holy sacrifice of the cross of Calvary, sin has been put away. Divine justice has been satisfied. And through that living Saviour, death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, we do thank thee, dear Lord Jesus, that thou didst have power to lay thy life down, and thou didst have power to take it again, that this commandment thou didst receive from thy Father. And thou hast now ascended into heaven, for we have a great high priest, and therefore thy word declares unto us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, every time of need. So we come unto thee at this evening hour. Lord, it's a time of need. We desire to hear thy voice. We desire to see thy countenance. We desire to worship in thy holy hill of Zion. We come, Lord, even as the hymn writer puts it, nothing in my hand I bring. Lord, we have nothing. Lord, we are nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Wash us in that crimson ocean, in that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Be gracious unto us. Grant that we may be like that one that we read of, who pressed through the crowd, saying, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made completely whole. Oh, that we could be so favoured, O Lord, at this evening hour, to press on, to press forward, to be led and to be taught, to be guided and to be directed unto Jesus by the Holy Spirit of truth. Blessed, divine and glorious Spirit, oh, we do pray that thou wouldst come even at this evening hour, and that thou wouldst pour forth thy sacred power in the pulpit and in the pew, and that thou wouldst give the preacher words to speak, and the hearers ears to hear, and hearts to receive. Lord, we need thee to do these things for us. Thou art the blessed comforter. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst lead us continually unto Jesus, that thou wouldst reveal the things of Jesus, that thou wouldst testify of Christ the Lamb. Hear us, O Lord. We do humbly beseech of thee. We do thank thee, O Lord, then, for all the wonderful covenant blessings that are in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Lord, that from time to time we feel the sacredness and the sweetness of the love of our Heavenly Father in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Oh, that we could feel those sweet drawings even at this evening hour. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with thy rich grace. Open thy word that we may delve into the deep that coucheth beneath in thy word. Look down upon this church and this congregation. Look upon our beloved brethren, the deacons. Support them, sustain them, strengthen them and help them. Continually we beseech of thee. Be with thy servants as they come in and out among this people. Grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. And grant that the word preached may be in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. Grant that precious souls may be quickened, may be brought from death into life, that precious souls may be brought from bondage into liberty, from darkness into light. Lord, this is thy sovereign work. Oh, that we could see thy sovereign work, thy powerful work here among this people. And that thou wouldst grant indeed those mighty signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word among them. And that thou wouldst grant that that time may come when they shall have a living settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding, that they may be built up a truly spiritual people. We do humbly beseech of thee. We do pray, most gracious Lord, thy blessing to rest upon the little ones as they're brought into the sanctuary, that thou wouldst have mercy upon them and the children also. Do bless the dear young friends. Do guide them and direct them in all matters, in their education, in their employment, regarding a partner in life's journey. Lord, we lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Be with parents, Lord. Give wisdom and understanding and direct them in all matters. And do, Lord, have mercy upon the little families. We do humbly beseech thee. We do pray that thou wouldst be with those in the midst of life. Go before them, undertake for them, guide them, direct them, teach them. We do beseech thee. We do pray thy blessing upon those in the evening time of life's journey and its attendant weaknesses and infirmities, that thou wouldst indeed draw near and grant that at evening time it may be light, that the wonderful light, glory and power of gospel truth may shine into their hearts. Prepare us each for that great day when heart and flesh shall fail, when we shall soar through tracks unknown and see thee on thy judgment throne. Oh, to be prepared. And now, my God, prepare my soul for that great day and wash me in thy precious blood. Take all my sins away. Remember all, O Lord, in affliction, whether young, in the midst of life, or in the evening time. And but Lord, where it can be according to thy heavenly mind, put forth thy healing hand. Be Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And may it be, Lord, not only in body, but in soul also. We do beseech thee. Help us to watch unto prayer. Help us to be diligent in prayer. Help us to love one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Grant that we may bring forth fruit to the glory of thy great name. We do beseech thee. Help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee, which is our reasonable service. Pour upon this church a spirit of real travail, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Grant that the wonderful glory, light and power of gospel truth may shine into this village of Swavesey, into the surrounding villages and hamlets. Mighty let thy gospel be. Set the burdened sinners free. Pull down the strongholds of Satan. Set up the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. Bless all thy ministering servants who labour upon the walls of Zion. Set them free and at liberty. Guide them by thy counsel. Grant them, as thus saith the Lord, grant mighty signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. Raise up and send forth young men to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, with feet to run where thou dost send, whither thus saith the Lord, to declare the whole counsel of God. Hear us, O Lord, we do beseech of thee, and remember us for good. We thank thee for every providential blessing. We bless thee for those sweet words, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Lord, help us to rest in thy love. Come now and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar, that we may be enabled to speak forth the words of truth and love, and that thou would seal the word into our hearts. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 876. When the chosen tribes debated against their God as hardly treated, and complained their hopes were spilt, God, for murmuring to requite them, fiery serpents sent to bite them, lively type of deadly guilt. Hymn 876. Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the second psalm and read in verse 6 for our text. Psalm 2 and the verse 6. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. This first word of our text is obviously a response to what has been spoken before. And what is spoken before is all the ragings of wicked men, of the heathen. The word of God declares here, why do the heathen rage? And that means if you look at the margin, or tumultuously, they raise a tumult and the people imagine a vain thing. And what was the vain thing that these people imagined? And the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against the King eternal, the Almighty. It's a vain thing for anybody to set themselves against Almighty God. He is almighty. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is indeed, as the scriptures declare, the Lord God, the omnipotent reigneth. The word omnipotent means all power, universal power. Universal power. In our text, we have the word king. And the word king means one of supreme power and authority. And God is. He sitteth king forever. And any that set themselves against him, such as the wicked do. And as it says here in the second verse, against the Lord and against his anointed. His anointed is Jesus Christ. And they set themselves against him. They set themselves against his person. They set themselves against his word. Against his truth. We see the evidence of this all about us and all around us. Man. They say we will not have this man to rule over us. And as it says here in the third verse, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What are these bands and what are these cords? His holy word. His holy law. And man, by nature, wants nothing to do with God's holy law, with God's holy word, with God's holy truth, with his commandments. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords, those cords that bind us down to a certain way of living. And wicked man today, and he's no different today than he ever has been, he says, we don't want God's commandments. We don't want God's laws. We want to do what we want to do. We want to live as we want to live. What have we got to do with morality and uprightness? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is man by nature, and sinner, it's you by nature as well. Don't sit in chapel and look all around at the wicked and the unrighteous and say, well, yes, that's just how they carry on, isn't it? It's you and I by nature. We desire not the knowledge of his ways. No. We have a heart which is enmity to God. Is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You have sinner. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your heart is at enmity to God. That's where we are, by nature. He, these are solemn words, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God shall laugh. Solemn thought. You think of those words, those very solemn words, in the first chapter of the book of the Proverbs, and there in that first chapter, listen to these words of truth concerning wicked, sinful man, and concerning the God of heaven who sends forth his servants to preach the word to wicked, sinful man. He commands his servants, go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel unto every creature. And elsewhere he says, whether men will hear or whether they forbear, you must go, you must preach whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Now listen, he says, wisdom. In the book of the Proverbs in particular, but also elsewhere in the Word of God, wisdom is Christ. In him dwell all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and of understanding. He is wisdom. He is the wisdom of God in a mystery. The person of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. That's who's in our text. Yet have I set my king. Whose king? The eternal Father. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And what does he cry? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. How does the Lord pour out his spirit unto poor sinful man? By the sending forth of his servants to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ under the mighty power and the divine influence of the Holy Ghost. Turn you at my reproof. He, that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck, shall be beaten with many stripes. Turn you. What does it mean, turn you? Well, that's the exact meaning of repentance. The doctrine of repentance, the grace of repentance, literally means to turn round and face God. That's the meaning of it. It's a very practical grace. It turns a man round from facing the world, the things of the world, the ways of the world. It will turn a man round to face Almighty God. That's what repentance will do. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God does this principally through his servants. It is through the foolishness of preaching. It's the principal way that the God of heaven turns men and women from the ways of sin unto the ways of God. From the ways of sin and Satan unto the ways of Jesus Christ. That's how God The principal means that he uses is the preaching of the word. And then there follows the most solemn words of warning and of admonition. And listen carefully to these words of warning. This is the word of God. It's not my word. It's God's holy word. I've actually had people that have argued with me after I've preached and touched on these solemn words here in the book of the Proverbs, and they've told me, oh, but it can't mean that. It can't mean what? It can't mean what it actually says. Listen to what it says. Behold, I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. This is God's holy word, not mine. But ye have set at naught my counsel. How does the Lord counsel men and women? Through his holy word. That's how he counsels men and women. But ye have set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. He's speaking here of the day of judgment, when every man, woman and child in this world shall stand before the seat of eternal judgment, and sitting upon that judgment throne will be the King eternal, immortal, invisible, even Jesus Christ. He will be sitting as the judge of all the earth. Now listen to those that live and die without repentance. I also will laugh at your calamity. And this word, my beloved friends, is a solemn word to those that have sat under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the faithful preaching of the truth. That's who this word is spoken to you. It's a solemn word of admonition. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation. When your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me. Why? Because they see their eternal ruin. They see it facing them there at the day of judgment. Then shall they call upon me. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. They shall not find me. And then he tells us why. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. I say, my beloved friends, what an unspeakably solemn condition to be found in. Where are you found, sinner? What is your condition as you've come to the house of God tonight? As before a holy, heart-searching God, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them with his sore displeasure. But then he goes on here, yet, in spite of all the rebellion and the opposition of Satan, of sinful man, unto the Lord's anointed, unto the truth of God, unto God himself, in spite of all that opposition, yet. This is an unchangeable, an immutable truth. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. King Jesus. King Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in writing to his son Timothy in the faith, he seems to break out under such a sweet sense and realisation of the greatness of Jesus Christ, of the glory of Jesus Christ, of the amazing love and grace of Jesus Christ. And it seems to be a verse almost on its own that he just has such a sacred sight and realisation of the truth of it. He says, "Now, unto the King eternal, immortal and invisible, the only true God, be honour and glory everlasting. Amen. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." So the person speaking of necessity must be the person of the Eternal Father. He has set his King. He is called my King. He was divinely appointed by the Eternal Father to redeem his church and his people. And in the setting of his King upon his holy hill of Zion, he was sent forth by the Father into this sinful, wicked world. As the Apostle puts it in Galatians 4, concerning the person of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them which are under the law. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. God, that is God the Eternal Father, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. He sent him to redeem. He sent him to deliver his people. The infinite love of a heavenly Father in the sending forth of his only begotten Son. And this is the way that he has appointed for poor sinners to approach his glorious and holy majesty in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. There is one God, one almighty and eternal Lord God of heaven, and one mediator between God and man. And the emphasis there, the man Christ Jesus. This is that one that stands between. And the apostle in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18, he speaks so beautifully there, for through him, through who? Through the holy God man, the man Christ Jesus, through him we have access by one spirit unto the Father. What wonderful, sacred, precious truth, isn't it? Through him. Him hath God exalted. Who? The holy God-man, the man Christ Jesus. Him hath God exalted at his right hand. This glorious Redeemer. I've set my King. Why was the eternal Son of the Father made flesh? Why did he become man? This is a deep, profound mystery of godliness. As we read in John chapter 1, and the Word, that term, the Word, speaks of the eternal Son of God. It is applied unto the divine person of the Son of God, and the Word, the eternal Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Why was the Word made flesh? Why did the Son of God become man? And this is what is meant, I have set my King. He came to this sinful world. He came to redeem. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, he shall come to Zion. The Redeemer, he did He came to Zion. Spiritually, Zion is the whole church of the living God. He came to this sinful world. He was made of a woman and made under the law. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:16, we have that word, great is the mystery. It is a mystery, a profound mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness, God, manifest in the flesh. The Word made flesh. The Son of God took into union with his divine nature a true, real human nature. As the Word declares, he became bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. It's a profound mystery. The infinite and the eternal took into union with himself the finite. He became a man. And as a man, living here below for 33 years, as a man, he lived a perfect, holy, sinless life. That's what he came to do. A person. And he's the only man that ever has. A person that lived a holy, sinless life, that fulfilled the holy, righteous law of God. Sin is any transgression of the law of God. That's a definition given us in Holy Scripture. He did no sin. He never transgressed the law of God. He brought in living that holy, sinless life, in perfect obedience to the law. He brought in everlasting righteousness. He is called in Jeremiah chapter 23, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. That's who Jesus Christ is. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He lived a perfect, holy, sinless life. Fundamental truth of our most holy faith. And because he lived that holy, perfect, sinless life, he could then offer a holy, perfect, sinless sacrifice. And that is exactly what he did. He offered a holy, sinless sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. You see, in those wonderful transactions of divine grace, in the Son of God being made flesh, and then in the Son of God living a holy, sinless life, and then the Son of God offering that holy life as a sin atoning sacrifice, the eternal Father laid upon him. Notice we come back to this glorious fundamental truth of our faith. The eternal Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, the infinite love of our eternal Father. Infinite love. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. He then took the sin of the church, all that the Father had chosen from the ruins of the Adam fall. He took their sin. The word forgiveness, it means in the original, the idea behind the word, it means literally to lift off. That's the meaning of the word forgiveness, to lift off. The eternal Father lifted off the sin of the church from off them. He then laid that sin upon his Son. He found a substitute, the glorious holy God-man. And he laid upon him the iniquity of us all, the infinite love of a heavenly Father in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now listen, in Corinthians chapter 5, we read, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Jesus Christ knew no sin. Jesus Christ did no sin. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, not only did the Eternal Father take the sin of the church away from them, lifted it off them, he laid it on his Son. And then he took that perfect holy obedience of his Son and he imputes it to the church, so that they are made righteous in him, so that he becomes Jehovah Tsidkenu unto the inhabitants of Zion, the Lord, our righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Oh, this glorious King, eternal, immortal and invisible, the only true God. He's set upon his holy hill of Zion. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Wonderful words of grace. Let us look for a moment here. My holy hill of Zion. My holy hill of Zion. On Mount Zion, and it, especially in the Psalms, but we find it throughout the prophets, throughout the Word of God concerning Mount Zion. Mount Zion, literally, is a mount on the corner of the city of Jerusalem. Geographically, that is. And there is, it has a double head, two heads on Mount Zion. On one of those heads of Mount Zion was built the temple, Solomon's temple. Mount Moriah, Mount Zion. That's where the temple of the Lord was built. On the other of the heads of Mount Zion, the palace of the kings of David was built. And so, if we look at those two in the spiritual sense of the word, upon Mount Zion, we have the temple of the living God, and we have the palaces of the kings of David. They set forth, or set before us in a spiritual light, the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King. So, the King's palace is there on Mount Zion. So, King Jesus reigns on Mount Zion. And then there is the temple, and that sets forth the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ as the great high priest of his people. For such an high priest have we, who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. In Psalm 24, Jesus, the Son of God, is portrayed there as entering into heaven as the King. He says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is it? It's the Lord Christ, when he ascended up on high, when he led captivity captive. And those everlasting gates were shut when Adam fell in the garden. It was sin that shut those gates, the sin of man. But lo, the second Adam comes, the glorious eternal Son of the Father, manifest in the flesh. And He lives for his people. He suffers, bleeds, and dies for his people. He's wounded for the transgressions of his people. He offers a holy, perfect sacrifice for his people. He sheds every drop of his precious blood for his people to cleanse them from all their sin. And in that glorious, holy, sinless sacrifice, he satisfies all the demands of divine justice for his people. He hath made peace. How? By that one offering. That one glorious offering of the cross of Calvary. Peace by his cross has Jesus made the church's ever-living head. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us. He hath made both one. How? By his cross. By his cross. Oh, this glorious Redeemer. And having accomplished these things, he then rises from the grave, swallows up death in victory, leads them out as far as unto Bethany, and they were eyewitnesses of his ascension, his bodily ascension into heaven. They witnessed the ascension of the Lord Jesus in a cloud. And in that ascending into heaven, there the psalmist opens to us the truth of those gates that were shut when Adam fell. And lo, the second Adam, he ascends. And those pearly golden gates of heaven open their everlasting doors. And the King of Glory enters in. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. He's set there. An almighty and an eternal Saviour. An almighty and eternal Saviour. Let us just look at the Word of God in Psalm 87. His foundation, Jehovah's foundation, is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. This is the church of the living God. Paul, in that beautiful epistle to the Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, he says, "For ye are not come unto that mount," that's to Mount Sinai, that's to the law, "ye are not come unto the mount that might not be touched, that burned with fire." No, you're come unto Mount Zion. Unto the city of the living God, unto the spirits of just men made perfect, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You're not come to the mountain that might be touched. This Zion is the mount of reconciliation. Zion is the mountain peace of peace. Zion is the place where God and sinners are reconciled. Zion is where Jesus has shed his precious blood, that glorious sacrifice. What is that name that speaks for me in heaven's high courts above and from the curse has set me free? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. What is the truth that is in this word? It's unalterable. That sacrifice, in that sacrifice, the whole church of God has been redeemed with an everlasting salvation. They are loved with an everlasting love. And he loves his Zion. He loves his Zion with an everlasting love. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. What is the city of God? Zion. The church of the living God. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest shall establish her. In Psalm 110, that beautiful messianic psalm, which speaks of the wonderful glory of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who hath the power of an endless life. What is Zion called there? The womb of the morning. The womb of the morning. In the Song of Solomon, we read of similar types of expressions when the beloved reveals himself unto his children. And what was the express desire of the spouse? I will take him. I will lead him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that bare me. I will take her into that place where I was born. I will take him. I will lead him. In other words, when a poor soul is so blessed in their soul and Christ is made so precious unto them, they desire to be in the house of God and to worship in his holy hill of Zion and to render thanksgiving and praise unto him and to follow him. I will lead him and to follow him. That's what it means. I will lead him and bring him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that bare me. I will pay my vows now in the presence of all his people. I will lead him and bring him into my mother's house. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well as the singers, as the players on instruments shall be there, all my springs, that's living springs of living water, all my springs are in thee. Thou art all my life, thou art all my hope, thou art all my desire, all my springs are in thee. Yet have I set my king. Oh, my beloved friends, this is an immovable truth. This is an unchangeable truth. Why? Because Zion's king is immovable and unchangeable. He is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, who are constantly and continually changing, I change not. I'm not like you are. It says in one place, doesn't he? Thinkest that I am such a one as thyself? Of course he isn't. If once the love of Christ I feel, impressed upon my breast, the mark of that celestial seal can never be erased. You know, I felt drawn to read that Psalm 45 because the psalmist, he speaks of the things touching the King. Who? King Jesus. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer. Oh, see such a glory in Jesus Christ. Do you see a glory in Jesus Christ? Do you see a loveliness in Jesus Christ? Do you feel an echo in your heart? Yea, he is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Is he the very sum and substance of all your hopes and all your desires? Is he the very centre of all your religion? Is he the very foundation of all your hope? I don't know where you are if he's not. I say, I don't know where you are if he's not. The centre, the sum, and the substance of all real religion is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. And that is the foundation of all real religion. And that is the centre of all real religion. It's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And then, you see, he says, grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. And then we have the desire here of the church. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. It's a prayer to this mighty king. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty. Ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Those mighty arrows of divine grace, those mighty arrows of conviction, that holy, glorious, eternal Spirit who proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son. He knows all those whom the Father has chosen and given to his Son, Jesus Christ. And that blessed Spirit, he knows all those whom the eternal Son has redeemed and saved with an everlasting salvation. He proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son into the hearts of these poor sinners. It's he that quickens their soul into life. It is he that convicts and convinces them of their sin. It is he that gives them to feel their need as a poor, broken-hearted sinner. It is he that testifies of the wonderful glory of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is he, the Blessed Spirit, that testifies in the conscience and heart of the living family of God. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's the Blessed Spirit that testifies in the soul of these sacred truths. And this is what the psalmist desires. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. He says, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The sceptre of thy kingdom is a right sceptre. A right sceptre. You see, he set his king. And a king has a sceptre. It's the symbol of his power and authority. And King Jesus has an eternal sceptre. He has a righteous sceptre. He has a right sceptre. This glorious, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Just think of those words of grace that we have in the prophet Daniel. When Daniel had those visions given to him, firstly, when Nebuchadnezzar, he interprets the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, but then he looks down to the end of time and the last days in which we're living now. And he says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. This is the kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. No, not a hoof shall be left behind. Every single soul, from the smallest to the greatest, who were chosen by the Father and redeemed by the Son, will enter into this eternal kingdom of everlasting life, of eternal happiness. It shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It's the everlasting kingdom. I give unto my sheep eternal life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In the 7th chapter of the prophet Daniel, we read, and the kingdom, he said, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, that's the dominion of Antichrist, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He's been put there. He was sent there. He was anointed to be there by the eternal Father. It's an immovable kingdom. He is the King Eternal, Almighty. Come, then repent in Simlecar, and trust upon his grace. O what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. In Psalm 72, there's another beautiful messianic psalm speaking of the glorious King, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He shall come down. It says, he has come down. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. He has come down. He has redeemed his people. He has offered a sacrifice. He has swallowed up death in victory. He has opened a new and way into the celestial, new and living way into the celestial city. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea. Oh, this King Eternal, he has dominion also. And then he goes on, and he shall live. He shall spare the poor and needy, this glorious King. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul. That's what he has done. He shall live. Why? Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. I am he that liveth. I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, and he shall live. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Mr. Charles Warboys will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Wheatley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear, my requests vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
Thank you.
Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.